Don, thanks so much for joining me. I want to dive right in. This was a massive report, but I want to focus on the section specifically discussing the Midwest. First, since it is such an important economic factor in our area, agriculture. How might our farmers and their crops be impacted by climate change?
Agriculture could be affected a number of different ways. With global warming and climate change, there could be changes in the patterns of pests, for example. The temperature will affect which pests might become more common or less common, and so that might cause some damage to crops. But even more so, the change in temperature will affect which crops are most likely to be most productive, and so farmers might have to change the variety of certain things that they grow. And then thirdly, climate change comes with more frequent and more severe storms, and in fact, more extremes of all sorts, more droughts and more floods, which is kind of strange, but that could be the most disruptive. In the spring, when the farmers are trying to plant, is the time that we're likely to get extra rain in Illinois. And that causes a problem with planting because farmers are waiting for the rain to stop so that they can plant. And so the timing on the planting gets screwed up, and it might cause problems with growing crops with extra rain in the spring. And then we'll have less rain in the summer. We'll have droughts during the summer, and that, of course, causes a problem. Illinois rainfall has been very steady for forever. And so very few farmers have any need for irrigation. They don't spray water because it rains every week in Illinois, even throughout the summer. And if that changes, then we don't have the irrigation infrastructure to make up for that.
Farmers have been adapting to a changing climate for centuries. They already see longer growing seasons than others did just a few decades ago. So can farmers simply adapt to these changes?
Yes, farmers are smart, and there are great technologies out there. So yes, they can adapt, well, especially if they know it's coming. And so, you know, within a few years, they can get the right equipment or the right fertilizer or plant the right crop. And so I'm sure there's experts that can predict to a certain extent how the farmers should start now to adapt. But the problem is, again, the uncertainty. There will be some shocks to the system. You know, a big storm comes at an unexpected time could wash away an entire planting season. So if you know when the storms are coming, you could act accordingly. Or if you know how hot it's going to get and when it's going to get hotter, you could plant a different variety of crops. But the whole problem here is the high degree of unpredictability.
You've talked about major weather events, droughts and floods, specifically here in the Midwest. These natural disasters are not only scary to think about, but they're extremely costly when they do happen. So can you speak to the financial damage we may see as climate change does continue?
Yes, well, there's two kinds of costs, and we'll get hit with both of them. You know, one is the cost of adaptation. So, for example, the city of Chicago is preparing, to at least some extent, for bigger future storms by renovating and rebuilding an entire storm drainage system. Of course, you need to be able to get the drain system to run the water out of the city so it doesn't flood. I mean, when the rain comes down, the better storm drainage system you have, the more damage can be averted, including, you know, deaths and drowning and who knows what kinds of accidents and other damage could be caused by a flood. So we can prepare for that, but it's expensive. So that's one major cost. Is the cost of that kind of adaptation. But then almost no matter how much of that you do, when the storm comes, there's going to be some damage. And of course, if you don't adapt, there'll be more damage. But even if you do that kind of investment, there will be some damage. And that's another cost we will have to bear, you know, because the storms will be more extreme than they have been recently. And so there will be some flooding and people will get caught in the floods, and there will be deaths, as there is in flooding, you know, all along the Gulf of Mexico when there's a hurricane. You know, you always hear reports of how many people died because of flooding. And there will be damage to buildings, as you also hear about in around the Gulf of Mexico after a hurricane, because when there was floods in these various houses, basically, you know, the water damage is severe and the house has to be completely rebuilt.
Maybe this is a little damning to think about, but are these massive floods, these droughts, other impacts, are they inevitable or can we stop them?
It's not either or. It's a matter of degree. Yes, it's inevitable to at least some degree. If we do nothing about it, it will be much worse. Even if we do something about it, we might be able to reduce the damages, but there still will be storms that are worse than they were before. And so, because we're already well into climate change, the climate is already changing, and there's already loads and loads of extra carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So we're going to be facing these climate damages for decades now. It's too late to reverse that completely. But we could slow it down, and we could adapt.
I'm speaking with Don Fullerton, a professor at the U of I, about the inevitable, as we just heard, impacts of climate change. You mentioned we could slow those effects down if we do something about it. You also completed your own report about preparing for climate change in Illinois, where you answer many questions, specifically the we in who should be doing something about it. So who is it? Is it you and me? Is it the policymakers, all of the above?
Well, it's all of the above, but primarily I think the policymakers. Adaptation means mostly government planning, and that can be at a local level. A city of Chicago needs storm drains. They need better transportation networks. They need health facilities for the coming heat waves. The state of Illinois needs to help the farmers and maybe irrigation if there's going to be droughts. You know, so that's at a local level is adaptation. But then at a national level, there's more need for a national policy to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. That can be in conjunction with other nations because the emissions worldwide, all around the globe, will affect the degree of future climate change.
How can we start initiating these changes right here in Illinois, but specifically regarding policy changes, and do we need to?
The state of Illinois emits well under 1% of worldwide carbon dioxide emissions, so in a sense, it's just a drop in the bucket because we need China to reduce emissions and India and all the other states in the U.S. and all of Europe, et cetera. But on the other hand, I think it's quite important that states like California do have a climate policy. They have a cap and trade for carbon dioxide emissions. And what's important about it is the demonstration effect. They're basically telling the world, we're not going to sit around waiting. We got to start now, and we got to start somewhere, so we might as well start at the local level. And you can start at home. You know, you can get a more efficient car or drive it less and use less gasoline. You can turn out the lights when you leave the room so that you're burning less electricity. And everybody can do that. And then, of course, the government can help people do that, or they can require people to do that. You know, there are various environmental policies to reduce emissions and to encourage or require greater energy efficiency on appliances and vehicles. But there's an important demonstration effect. You can demonstrate to your neighbors, and the state of Illinois can demonstrate to its neighbors in the same way that the state of California has demonstrated to its neighbors that we got to get going, and here's how to do it. And then we can study that and see how it works, and then it can be adopted by other states, and then that can be adopted by other countries.
On the subject of policy and policymakers, we will soon have a new governor sworn in. We have several new state representatives and senators. If you could make them a list of priorities specifically dealing with climate change and its effects, what would you say should be at the top of that list?
You know, I have talked a little bit to legislators in Springfield about issues about climate change and climate policy and adaptation and, you know, reducing emissions. And their primary concern is about coal jobs in Illinois. They need to keep the voters happy. I certainly understand that. So I don't blame them for worrying about coal jobs. But I guess I would emphasize that those coal jobs are on the way out anyhow, in a manner that has nothing to do with climate change. Coal is just not economically advantageous or even feasible anymore. Natural gas is cheaper because of the new fracking boom and just easier and cheaper to find and to extract natural gas, which is less carbon per kilowatt hour in electricity generation. And so the coal is just not economic. And those jobs are going to be lost anyway. So if you're worried about those people, the thing to do is to facilitate their change, their relocation and retraining, because coal is on the way out, period. You cannot effectively preserve those coal jobs because we'd be paying them to do something that's just not productive to do, not economic. It's not an efficient industry. We need to get different sources of electricity and newer technologies.